Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prodigal, you saw son. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to have you here today, whether this is the church you come to all the time, or maybe this is your first time
now
with us.
I see grace.
And we see grace all the time at Grace Point. Maybe this is your first time here, maybe you haven't been for a while, maybe you're one of our regulars. In every case, we are glad you're here to worship the Lord together. And one of the ways the New Testament talks about worshiping is through fellowship. And I'm going to teach about that in the one-on-one class. We'll tell you more about that coming up soon. I want to share a couple of verses with you that will kind of launch us off into another part of our worship time. It comes from the Old Testament, from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 23 through 25, and it says this: Sing to the Lord, all the world. Proclaim every day the good news that He has saved us. Proclaim His glory to the nations and His mighty deeds to all people. The Lord is great and is to be highly praised. He is to be honored above all else. Would you pray with me, please? God, we come before You now to worship You because You are the Lord of all. And on this day, we want to proclaim that You have saved us. And for that reason, Lord, we recognize that You indeed are great and are to be highly praised. You are to be honored above all else. And Father, that's what we want to do today in our time of worship. Through our prayers, through our songs, through the message, through the time of response, we honor You, we lift You up, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, everybody have a seat but Jonathan. All right. We have a little, you know, you've been up here quite a while singing and all, and now we know he's getting ready to go to Guatemala. The whole church praying and just doing a great job of supporting. We have the, and I've got to say this correctly, the Bible study women of, the Bible study ladies of Grace Point have raised a little bit of gift for you for your trip, and Susan would like to present that. Ladies, if you're here, if you're in that small group, would you stand up and give my hand, $362 to go toward a trip. All right. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for that. I will tell you, Jason, where are you? There he is. Last year, on this date, or this week, we got up and we announced that we were coming together as one church. 1 year ago. We're going to have a celebration on the 25th. Kevin will tell you a little more about that. But Jason actually got up and preached that week. Do you remember this? Do you remember how he started out his message? Jason, do you remember how you started? I went back and listened to it, and he said, because I had lost my voice that week, guess what? You know, things happen once a year, right around my wife's birthday somehow. And Jason started his talk by saying Becca was happy all week because John lost his voice. Well, it's happened again, right? But it's coming back. And Jason also mentioned Becca's birthday. You had a birthday, didn't you? We've had a little tradition of giving out fake $100 bills. This is not a fake $100 bill. This is a little gift card that is in the amount of your age, I think. That will buy an Olive Garden salad. So there you go. So happy birthday to Jason. So I was reminded as I get this cough drop, the pastor that was speaking way too long, and wasn't here, obviously, wasn't here, but was going too long, and he went to his counselor and said, hey, what can I do about this? He said, tell you what, get a cough drop or a mint, put it in your mouth, start speaking. When it's gone, stop the sermon. And it worked. You know, preaching 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 30 minutes, 35. 1 week he preached for an hour and 15 minutes. I see you smiling about that. And said, what happened? He said, well, I reached in my pocket for the cough drop and pulled out a button. So I have a question for you today. I've got a button. I've got a cough drop. Which one should I put in my mouth? That was quick. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. It is exciting. Thomas and Joe are going to do some magic back there with a mic to make my voice sound normal as I put in a cough drop. Again, praying for Jonathan with his upcoming trip. I have an ongoing talk that I keep in mind. It's called Impact. And when I found out that the group that he was working with was called Impacto, I said, I can obviously add the letter O at the end and make it one message. There we go. A funny story happened. I was driving along with William Jake. Some of you may remember William. He was in the youth group, gosh, 25 years ago. And we were driving down toward First Baptist downtown to go to chapel. And we were kind of making fun of the youth minister there because he was in charge of chapel, and he forgot that he was speaking 1 week and didn't show up at his own chapel. And I said, William, that's just horrible, man. And then I realized, I said, what is today? And he told me what day it was. And I said, I'm supposed to be over at James Island Christian today doing chapel. And so we went over, and sure enough, I pulled out this kind of this outline that we have right here. So here we go. Making an impact, oh, a little Spanish, for Christ. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. To be a shining city on a hill, that phrase has been used by three great leaders in our country through the years. John Winthrop, coming across the ocean to help found the original colonies, told the people on that ship, we are to be a shining city on the hill. John F. Kennedy used that in a message in a speech as well. And then later on, Ronald Reagan, talking about America being a shining city on a hill. I think Grace Point is the same way. We should make an impact. We're in a great location, folks. When I do weddings and so forth, I tell them, we're right next to Goodwill. We're across the street from the new emergency room. We're on Folly Road. And the thing about it is, everybody knows where we are. They know right where this is. So we have a great opportunity to make an impact right here at Grace Point. The letter I. Here we go. Letter I. Imitate Christ. If you got your outline, you can write that in. Imitate Christ. I wrote down three different versions of this verse, but I want you to follow it, hear it, let it sink in. First is the New Living Translation. 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. The English Standard Version says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. And then the Message, which is a paraphrase, kind of modern speaking. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. There it is, to imitate Christ. Our very first Disciple Now that we had here in Charleston, Disciple Now is a weekend where students stay in homes and we bring in Bible study leaders. It was simply entitled WWJD. I think that's comes up. Something like that was on the shirt. You know, it's what would Jesus do? You know, we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit, but that is a great question. And here's the other question. How do you know what Jesus would do? You would read the Scripture. Jesus knew the Scripture. The other night at youth group, I was talking with the kids. We're doing a study in the book of Mark. And I had a seminary professor. He said, you know, instead of jumping around and looking at different passages, sometime just sit down and read an entire book of the Bible. And I said to our youth on Tuesday night, I said, hey, I want to challenge you to pick up your Bible and read the entire book of Mark. Wow. I said, it'll take about an hour and 15 minutes. Kevin, about 15 minutes. He's quick. And we came back the next week. We had a young lady who told me she had read the entire book of Mark. I didn't know if anybody would do it. Brooklyn, right over here. I want you to give her a hand for doing that. That is what I think Jesus would say. How do we find out what Jesus would do? We read about him in the Scripture. Imitate Christ. There's a great classic. It's called In His Steps. I think we have the book thing up here. Some of you, anybody read this book? That is where we came up with what would Jesus do. It's a novel or a fictitious story about a guy that walks in the church. And they don't help him out and so forth. At the end, the pastor challenges everybody. If anybody in here for 1 year will not do anything without asking yourself, what would Jesus do? Meet me after the service. And I think there's about, I don't know how many, 20 or 30 that meet. And the whole town is transformed by those folks. What would Jesus do? Imitate Christ. Jim Burns, great youth pastor, was sitting in chapel. Speaking of chapel again. So was sitting in chapel, and he said the minister, the guy that was speaking, said, you're the only Jesus someone will ever see. He said it again. You're the only Jesus someone will ever see. The guy repeated it 10 times. And finally, Jim Burns lowered down the magazine or book or whatever he was reading, and the speaker was looking right at him. Said, you're the only Jesus someone will ever see. So today we need to remember, Pastor Kevin, myself, Jason, we don't touch everybody's life, but you folks are scattered all across Charleston, all across South Carolina, all across the world to touch lives by imitating Christ. Second one, letter M, make new friends. A couple of verses right here. One who loves a pure heart, who speaks with grace, will have the King for a friend. Think about Paul. His goal was to get to Caesar, to witness to Caesar, but he met a lot of friends on the way. And then in Luke chapter 19, Jesus was friends with so many folks. I mean, the people who were considered the lowest level, he was their friend. Luke chapter 19, when Jesus came by, he looked at Zacchaeus, called him by name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down, for I'm going to be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus hurriedly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Just last night, I was sitting in the reception of a wedding. And once again, with a not much voice, you know, doing the wedding out there at Alhambra Hall. Y'all know where that is. Outside, wind blowing. Guy puts a mic on, and he does such a good job of the mic. People go, we didn't even know you had a problem there. You know, it's like, okay. So we get through, and I said to the coordinator, I said, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to stay for the reception. If my name is not on the list, I'll ease on out. If it's on the list, I'll stay because I don't want them to be prepared, and I don't want to miss a meal. Oh, yeah. And so I went in, and sure enough, table number 7, Pastor John Peters. I said, all right, I'm in. So I'm sitting there. It's great. I'm sitting with the father of the groom. I'm sitting there with the grandmother, 84-year-old lady, delightful, incredible. I mean, she's telling me sermon illustrations, Kevin. It's like, have you heard this illustration? Have you heard this one? And on this side over here was a doctor. I was telling somebody earlier, he's a neuromuscular doctor here in Charleston and is actively involved with 58,000 patients. I said, are you kidding? And his wife is the webmaster, the web designer of the credit union where I do my banking. I said, you got to be kidding. So I tell you what, here's a challenge. Look for people that you can meet day by day. When I first came to Charleston, I had a little devotional book, and it was day by day. And every day I wrote down the name of a person that I met that day. So I challenge you. It's easy to get in a rut. You know, I know everybody. We know everybody. Meet somebody new. Make new friends as you go along. Samuel Coleridge. Some of you heard of Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Great. Actually, I've learned, great poet, writer, and theologian. He said, a good friend is like a sheltering tree. See if there's a nice photo there. You know, a tree in the summertime kind of gives you shade. And in the wintertime, it kind of opens up and allows the sun to come through. A sheltering tree, that friend, that if you have 3 to 5 really good friends in life, you are blessed. 3 to 5. I mean, we have a lot of acquaintances. And when I say make new friends, you're really making acquaintances. You try to remember and touch their life. But you also need those people who are your go-to friends. You can go to them. Sadly, just a couple weeks ago, I had the funeral of the young lady, 37-year-old mom, 2 children, 2 daughters, 7th grade and 5th grade. They're going to be okay. And because of faith, family, and friends, they have a network of friends that's unbelievable that have gathered around to help them out. And that's what needs to happen. That's what happens at church. You make friends. You have friends. Make new friends. Next one, letter P. Well, I skipped a verse there, but let's go ahead and skip it, Joe. You guys can read that one. That's a great commission. That's pretty important, but check that one out. Letter P, be proud to be a Christian. You know, it's like there are things that we, you know, pride can be a problem. You know, pride comes before a fall. Proud will, you know, be bad. But I learned at seminary, I was reading about the churches, the youth groups that were growing. The churches and the youth groups that were growing had a pride in who they were. They were proud to be a part of that church. They were proud to be a part of that youth group. And that's what we as Christians need to say. I'm proud of my faith in Christ. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Be proud of your faith in Christ. Don't be ashamed of it. You know, some people are scared to talk about it. There was a guy, he was a lumberjack. He was going off, he's a Christian. He was going off to work in a summer camp with lumberjacks. And he was scared. You know, what are these people going to find? What are they going to do when they find out I'm a Christian? He came back home, and sadly, they said, what happened? He said, man, it was so cool. They never found out I was a Christian. Doesn't that sound opposite of what? Yeah. But that's the way we are sometimes. We're just afraid to talk about our faith. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Be ready to talk about Christ. Then we have letter A. Always do your best. Always do your best. Great message for students. Great message for all of us. You know, would you be the person, if you were the boss, would you hire you? You know, that's a good question. Always do your best. Look at the verse here, Colossians 3. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. If you're writing a paper, if you're raking leaves, taking care of someone's dog, studying, playing on a team, whether it's, I know we have now, I just saw today they have the rec center has first through eighth grade lacrosse coming along. But you play your best. Why do you play your best? Why do you do your best? Why do you do your best coaching? So you can get your name on the floor? No. It happens. It happens. But you do your best because you're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing your best schoolwork so you can get out of school. You're not doing your best schoolwork to please your parents, sort of maybe, but you're doing your best work because it pleases God. That changes your whole outlook. When these guys play in the music, play the band up here, they're not playing for you folks. They're playing for God. Pat, I'm sorry to tell you that. I know. You're excited. But they want to do their best. I know Jason, he wants the best because it's for God. When Kevin gets up to preach, he wants to do the best because it's for God. Always do our best. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Great one for the runners out there. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. Purpose, meaning, that's what people are looking for. Now, they may not realize it comes through Christ. That's our job to share that. But they are looking for meaning. They don't want a life with no meaning, no purpose. They want a life that means something. But they don't realize if you're doing it just for yourself, it will all fade away. But run that race for Christ. As we said, whatever you're doing, do it for Christ. When Jonathan goes on this mission trip, I know he'll be thinking about Grace Point. I know he'll be thinking about the folks who have supported him. But the number one thing that he should think about, and I know he will, is am I pleasing God? Is what I'm doing what God has called me to do? All of us need that same challenge to do our best. Now there's a picture will pop up here of Admiral Rickover. He was apparently the head of the Naval Academy for quite a while. And he would call the students in who were graduating. One of those students that was graduating was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter sat there with him and he talked about his experience at the Naval Academy. And then at the last question, he said, did you do your best? And Jimmy Carter sat there and thought about it. And he said, I need to be honest here. And he said, no, sir, I really didn't do my best. And Admiral Rickover turned his chair away, looked out the window, and he could hear him say under his breath, why not the best? Why not the best? Folks, I hope that every day when we get up, we say, I want to do the best I can do, always doing my best, not just for the people around us, but for God. You know what happens? If you do your best for God, it's also the best for the people around you. That's what it's about. Always do your best. Letter C. Now we got the Super Bowl coming up. I was trying to remember what the Anybody know the cost of a ticket to the Super Bowl? Alan, are you going? Yeah. How? Anybody know how much? I don't know. I know a couple years ago it was like $2,500. It's probably five. Yeah.
I heard five, John.
$5,000. So there was a guy who said, you know, I did not realize my wedding day. I set my wedding date up. I didn't realize it was on Super Bowl Sunday, and I have a ticket. And I need someone to take my place. He said it's at St. Michael's Church, 3 p.m. She's 5'4", and she'll be wearing a white dress. Yeah. Super Bowl coming up. Have you ever seen those banners? Well, hold off. We're not going to show those yet, Joe. I want to read the scripture, and then we're going to show some photos. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Creatively witness. Creatively witness. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Always, as we say, often means always. Just be ready, constantly ready to talk about your faith. We look on into Acts chapter 17. Paul is up on the Mars Hill. People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. In other words, I know who the unknown God is. Let me tell you about him. Paul was very creative in the way he approached talking to those folks. So, sporting events a while back would have these different banners. Let's see what we got. There we go. On the left, you have baseball. Look back in the stands. You see John 3:16. Football. Even in golf. I don't know how they got that in there. But John 3:16. A lot of creative ways. You remember Tim Tebow? He would have, right here on his eye black, would have a scripture verse. I know C.J. Stroud, and I'm a Michigan fan. You guys know that. C.J. Stroud was a star at Ohio State. He's now with the Houston Texans. They won their first playoff game. And in his talk on NBC Sports, he shared about his faith in Christ. Sadly, NBC cut it out. So John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens, the coach, when they beat, I think it was Miami, I can't remember who they beat, somebody in the second round or first or second round, he walked into the press room knowing they can't cut this all out, and the first thing he did, he read an entire scripture verse about how God, we deserve to give God praise for everything. Creatively witness. You know, people will, you'll have somebody wearing a certain hat, a shirt, something, and it can start a conversation. When I was sitting with the folks last night, and I don't know if they, I never did actually come out. Now, obviously, the grandmother, she goes to church because she's telling me sermons and illustrations. And the doctor and his wife, you know, they live downtown, and I was kind of talking to him about faith. He started talking about he wanted to get into science. And I said, well, I tell you what, there's a great book that you need to read. We're going to come back to this in a minute. Lee Strobel's book, Case for a Creator. Because he interviews the greatest scientists around the world. And he found that many of them are Christians. Many of them are believers. So you have an opportunity. But the lady there said, first thing she said was, man, you're an extrovert, aren't you? I said, yeah. I even talked to the machines at Parker's. When you know, they no longer have cashiers. You walk in, you scan the thing, you put your, I'm going, where's the receipt? You know, I'm talking to the machine. Some of us aren't like that. Some of you aren't, you know, what's the word again? Extrovert, yeah. Mind went out there, didn't it? Introvert, extrovert. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. It's tough getting old, man, I'll tell you this. Yesterday, I went to a birthday party. And was anybody else at this birthday party? I'm not sure if anybody else was there. so I can tell this story. So I'm going to the birthday party. I left the invitation at my house, went to the store, got a nice gift. I got kind of what I did with Jason here. I got the gift for the age of the person. The amount was the age of the person. And a little card that says, happy 40th birthday. And you open it up, 40, you know, big 40 pops up. The only problem was it was his 50th. That's what happens. I'm telling you. Extrovert, yeah. So she says, you're an extrovert, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm off the scale. I'm way off there. So, but yeah, throw out those faith flags. Let people know that you have faith. Have a blessed day. You know, that's another one. Or here's a good one. You know, many times people say, would you pray for me? And they know because you're a pastor, you're a church member, you're in the praise band, whatever. What if the pastor asked you to pray for them? I've asked people to pray for me. I don't even know if they're a Christian. Why? Because then they're thinking about prayer. I said, hey, I lost my voice. Can you pray for me? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Everybody but Alan. He's not praying for me. Keep the mic off. Yeah. Well, that was creatively witnessed. Let's talk about the letter T. Talk and think. Talk, think about your faith. Talk about your faith. Think about your faith. Great verses. Psalm 107, verse 2. This is in the New Living Translation. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. In the King James, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When was the last time that we really had a conversation with somebody? I'll never forget, and this is Melanie's son, Alan. One day came up to me and said, after these big trips, we go on a ski trip and we do Disciple Now. We go to camp in the summer and we're up on the mountaintop. And then we come back. How can we kind of keep that excitement? How do we keep that excitement? And one of the things that came to my mind was this. Talk about God. Just simply on a regular basis, have people that you can talk to them about your faith. Talk to them about God and who Jesus is. When you're talking about it, it keeps your mind focused on Him. And then think about it. Look at this verse in Philippians chapter 4. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And Paul telling us again and again, focus on the things above. Focus, think about. You know, in the past few years, there are a lot of different groups out there that have kind of misinterpreted the Bible. They've taken the Bible and they've gone off on this tangent and that tangent. And they come to your house. They want to talk to you about it. You need to know what you believe. We need to know what we believe. We need to think through our faith. That's part of what the membership class will be about that Pastor Kevin's going to be doing. He'll tell you more about that. It's coming up in March. You need to know what you believe. You need to think through those things. Now, we'll say this. There are those people that go so deep in their thoughts that they lose the people who are new Christians. And I love the quote that says this. I want to be inside the doors of the kingdom, but I don't want to go so far in that I can't welcome the next person in. Wow. Because sometimes we have to simplify things to make it understandable for that person. They've not read the Bible. They've not known the theology that we know. And it's good to know that, but to realize sometimes we have to have that simplified faith. Talk and think about it. Lee Strobel, picture coming up. He's sitting there like the thinker. He's the guy that I talked to the doctor last night about. You need to read this book. And I told him, I said, you want me to write it down? He says, nope, I'll remember it. Lee Strobel, Case for Creator, Case for Faith, Case for Christ. His wife, he was kind of an agnostic atheist, worked for the Chicago Tribune. He was a journalist, and he hated Christians, basically. Did not like Christians at all. And one day, a terrible thing happened. His wife became a Christian. He said it was a horrible day, you know, he thought. So he said, now I've got to kind of study and find out what she believes. So he started studying about Christianity. He ended up becoming a believer. He wrote The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for Creator. All of those books, The Case for Christmas, The Case for Easter. It's a basic understanding of why we ought to be believers in Christ. He is now a pastor. Now, can you imagine that? Went from being an atheist, agnostic, whatever you want to call it, to being a pastor. And I was telling this doctor this last night. Now, he didn't bring it up again, but I hope you'll read that book. Because I know if he's worked with neuromuscular whatever, he's into science. And I said, you know, when they went to the top scientists of the world, they found that many of them were Christians. They were believers. Because they, every time you go deep into science, what do you run into? God. You run into God in the universe, in the body, everywhere you go. You're going to run right into God. And now, the last one. Here it is. Jonathan, this is the last. This is for you, man. The letter O. Added this one in. It could be win one more for Jesus or reach one more for Jesus. And we'll tell you why in a second. Luke chapter 15, great verse. Luke chapter 15, a great chapter about things that were lost and were found. You had the sheep, the coin, and the son. Look what it says about, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says this, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. When does heaven have a party? Heaven parties every time a soul is saved. Every time someone comes to Christ, it's like that, what is it, what's the movie where the bell rings when an angel earns its wings? It's a Wonderful Life. Boy, I actually thought of something. It's a Wonderful Life. Bell rings, angel earned its wings. Well, in heaven, when a soul is saved, when someone gives their life to Christ, there's a party. Can you imagine that? Just the joy of heaven. There was a little boy on the seashore, and all these starfish had washed up on the seashore. And he was down there, and they knew that if they didn't get back into the water, they would perish. And the cough drop's about gone, by the way. So he would pick up a starfish, throw it in the water. Pick up another one, throw it in the water. An old gentleman walked up on the seashore and looked down and said, "Hey, boy, you can't save all those starfish." He stood there a minute, kind of sad. And then he reached down and picked up another one. He said, "Maybe not, but I can save this one. And I can save this one. And I can save this one." Now, we don't save anybody. Jesus does that. But we share the message. Rick Warren, a pastor out in California, great author, purpose-driven life. I was going to read the lyrics of a song. It's called Reach One More for Jesus. But I'm going to read you the Facebook page, the post that he put up right after his father died. And this will be our conclusion as the cough drop disappears. Best-selling author and pastor Rick Warren shared on that his dad, Pastor Jimmy Warren, had passed away at 95. His dad had helped shape his destiny with his final dying words. In a post that also included a photo of him as a four-year-old helping his dad build a church, the founder of the Saddleback Church in California stated that to understand why he does what he does, you need to know the story of my father's church planting ministry and his final days while dying from cancer. He never talked about the books he'd read, the movies he'd seen, or the war he'd been in. Instead, he dreamed aloud about building churches, reliving one building project after another. The night before my father died, my wife, my niece, and I were in his bedroom by his side. And Dad suddenly became very agitated and tried to get out of the bed. Of course, he was too weak to get up. So Kay, that's Rick's wife, insisted that he lay back down. He kept persisting and trying to get up. And finally, she said in exasperation, "You cannot get up, Jimmy. We will get you whatever you want. What are you trying to do?" And at that point, he looked and said, "Reach one more. I have to reach one more for Jesus." And he said, "I've got to save one more for Jesus. I've got to save one more for Jesus," over and over. He began to repeat that phrase maybe 100 times in the next hour. "I've got to save one more for Jesus." Rick Warren said that as he sat by his bed with tears flowing, he bowed his head to thank God for the legacy of his father's compassionate faith. "And while my head was bowed, my dad reached out and placed his frail hand on my head. And he said, as if commissioning me with a sacred calling, 'Reach one more for Jesus.'" It was a holy moment. And Rick Warren knew that that was his calling for the rest of his life. That is not only the calling of Jonathan as he goes to Guatemala to reach one more for Christ. It's the calling of every one of us. Those people watching on Facebook Live, imagine how many people you can touch on Facebook. How many people you can touch out there in the world. Right now, we're sitting in this room, I don't know, 85, 90 folks here. But tomorrow, we will be scattered all across this area. And every one of us will touch someone's life. I pray that you and I will make an impact. Impacto. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and we know that there are many, many ways that we can make an impact for you. Help us to zero in on what it is that we can improve, that what we can do to reach one more for you. Today, as we have come together, it's no accident. Everybody's here for a reason. Everybody's here to be challenged to go out and to reach that person, to touch that life. We pray now as we remember this first year as Grace Point, that we will be that shining city on a hill, that shining light for you. And Lord, today many decisions will be made, some just sitting there in the pew. We thank you for that. Speak to us, challenge us to do what you would have us to do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Now, if you look up here just a moment, we have several ways you can respond. First of all, this cross over here, you know, it's one of those things where we have to kind of explain it a little bit. There's some papers down here. If you'd like to write a prayer concern, something that you'd like to nail it to the cross, maybe a praise, you can write on that little sheet of paper and nail it to the cross. No one sees that. That's between you and God. In the corners and up here in the front, we have the communion station as well to remember what Jesus did for us, the body and the blood that was shed. And you can take that and do that at your seat. You can stand there and just pray and remember that sacrifice. The communication card, the connect card that you have, I challenge you, if you just take a minute or two, fill that out. If you're new with us, make sure you put some contact info on there. There are boxes you can put that in. Prayer requests, a lot of prayer requests. You can write those on that card, share it with us, the pastors, we go over that. If you'd like to come down here and pray, we'll be down here in the front. You can come down and pray with us as well. You can sit there and bow your head and pray. You can stand and sing and praise God.
So I want to thank Pastor John for filling in for me, gave me a chance to work on the membership class in the last 2 weeks to get ready. That's coming up soon. So give John and his cough drop a great hand. Would you do that?
I put another one in.
We ain't waiting for that one to melt.
All right. So a couple of things. You can read. So read your bulletin. There's stuff in there you need to read, okay? But let me give you two more announcements real quickly. First of all, we are going to have our one-year celebration here on February 25th. February 25th, clear your calendar. Don't come back and say, well, I had something. Take it off, reschedule it. It's going to be a wonderful day of celebration followed by some good food. All right? February 25th, be here. It's going to be a wonderful time. Also, put down on your notes there, put it in your calendar. We're also going to have our very first 101 membership class. The notes are finally ready. I've got some details to work out on it. We've got membership notebooks ready for you. My lecture notebook is ready, and we're going to do this, okay? So on March 10th, is that right? March 10th, from 4 to 6:30, we're going to have some refreshments in between all that time. And if you want to be a part of our church as a member, or if you just want to come learn more about our church, what we're really about, what we do, why we do what we do, the way we do it, you can have all those questions answered on March 10th from 4 to 6:30. Okay? You'll be hearing more about that. Just want to pass that your way.
All right. Let's pray together, folks. Have a great week. And again, remember to make an impact as you go. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we love you. Thank you for each one who's here. We thank you that you have brought us together as Grace Point. Remind us of what those two words really mean, a point of grace. Help us to be those points of grace wherever we go to make an impact for you. We pray it all now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.